You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name's Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. We want you callers to call in and ask us any questions about relationships, families, work, communication, any question you want, we'll do our best to answer it. Tonight, we're going to talk about, is your love life running on fireworks or foundation? This week, we're going to talk about chemistry, the irresistible spark, and compatibility, the glue that makes love last. So join me and Andy Shaw, and we'll talk about chemistry versus compatibility. Andy, are you available?
Hello, yes, I am.
What's your take on chemistry and compatibility? Because that seems to be a big thing up for debate with women that want instant chemistry, the sparks, but the guy that they're compatible with is boring and they don't want anything to do with him.
Chemistry to me is equivalent to love, which is, you know, communication. So I'm not sure how I can fall in love instantly.
Okay.
I mean, well, it doesn't happen with anybody hardly, does it?
Well, I know from a lot of my coaching groups, a lot of the women, and always Dr. Pat used to say, women always want the chemistry. It's what's familiar. They want the instant attraction, but those are usually the avoidant and the unavailable guys, because that's the picker, their general picker. And the nice guys that they would do best with to have peace, calmness, safety, security, and long term, they look at as boring. And that's when Dr. Allen used to talk about desensitizing. Go out with the boring guy a few times till you get used to calm. Because a lot of women, their nervous system, they like that norepinephrine high, the highs and lows, chaos. So they go with the instant attraction, but there's really not a lot of compatibility. There's just the instant sparks. Remember when Dr. Pat used to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. No, I got my seeds mixed up. I was thinking about one thing and said another. Yeah, okay. Chemistry is lust. Communication is love. Compatibility is love. And so which part was love? The communication. You can't, if you haven't talked to them, you can't fall in love. You can fall in lust. That's pretty easy to do.
Yes. But
I think it's hard to make, you know, we're talking a lot about boundaries. And it's also hard to talk about phases and go, okay, like, I know what this feels like. But I also know that, you know, I got to talk to the person and see, hey, do you live in the same state? Is this even going to work? Do I know your name? Do I know anything about you?
Uh-huh. And where they're heading to and what their desires are and their likes and not likes. That's compatibility, what we find out. Chemistry, they usually want to just hook up and just go with the feeling, which usually burns out pretty fast because you don't have any glue that holds you together. Compatibility, you just have the chemistry lust.
And if they're easy to get in, it only lasts 90 days anyways before they get bored.
Lucky. Yeah, it's got some understanding key points is that chemistry is that magnet, the pull, the passion, attraction. It's fueled by the dopamine and adrenaline. That's the same hormone that spikes you when you're in danger. And sometimes chemistry feels like home. It's familiar, but only because it's familiar, not because it's healthy. So that's why we often crave unavailable partners. The body mistakes anxiety for attraction. So with compatibility, what it feels like, compatibility is shared values, life goals, communication styles, and emotional maturity. and it feels calm, not chaotic. And compatibility grows over time as trust deepens. That's a big one. A lot of people say, but I don't have attraction for him. It grows over time. I always tell my women, that's part of the duty dating as well. Give the guy 2 or 3 dates because he can grow on you. And remember, Dr. Pat says women fall in love with their ears, not their eyes. So chemistry sometimes is eyeball attraction, lust. And the lust usually will burn out. And compatibility, at least you have something that's glue to hold you together. And hopefully you can get some chemistry while you're dating, getting to know somebody. So with that, hopefully we'll get some questions. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. So what do you want to share with the audience on your point of view on chemistry and compatibility, or bring a topic up that you're interested in?
Well, you know, I always like today's problems, so let me ask you,
okay,
what are the most current problems in your ladies' groups?
Oh, the chemistry versus compatibility. I have a ladies group and that I'm running. I have quite a numerous bunch of ladies groups. Some of them are older women and they've been married and they've been in the groups for a couple years. I took over Dr. Pat's. And some of them are the newer ladies that are just starting out dating. The newer ladies, they all want the instant attraction. I don't have chemistry with him, but they want to be married, but they won't. They always blemish the guy. Well, he talks too much, or he doesn't ask me how my day was, or he doesn't ask me about how I'm doing. He doesn't ask me about my job or my goals. So what I'm seeing is they want to go masculine and masculine. So it's a challenge. It's they can change if they want to, if they're aware. So in my groups, I help them understand what they're doing to push good men away. A lot of time there's a lot of resistance. Dr. Pat calls them unteachable. And then we have a lot that take the information, as painful as it might be, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the work. Even if it's uncomfortable, I'm going to do the work to change my behavior, to go after what I want and what I don't want. So with that, change, sometimes when Dr. Allen had the saying, when pain is a sign that change is needed and change is in progress, a lot of women come in and they're in their mid-40s and they've not been married and they're desperate for children. And it's sad, but after that long, some of them are just unteachable. Tell us what unteachable is about, Andy, in your beliefs.
You know, actually listen to, I know it is, Dr. Pat is, when you're so stubborn, you want to do it your way, and you're not willing to be open to others. But I was listening to a podcast or an interview with a guy named Jay Shetty. He's a podcaster, and he interviewed Dr. Gabor Mate.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the book When the Body Says No.
Yes.
When the Stress Disease Connection.
Yes.
What I liked about that, you're really probably only unteachable in the moment until you hit your bottom, and then you go, okay, this isn't working for me, I need something different.
Okay.
And the nice thing about that, because the interview was about trauma.
Yes.
And trauma, according to Dr. Mate, was not what was happening to you, but the psychic scar that's left afterwards.
Okay.
And the nice thing about trauma, if you can call it that, is it's healable whenever you decide to make it healable.
How do people find the trauma? I mean, we all have some form of trauma, whether daddy didn't say I love you enough or something, or the neighbor would, we all have something that's trauma. It just depends on if it's trauma for you. How do people know they had trauma?
Well, I didn't get a good answer, but they did talk about in the middle that defining that, I have to do more research, but he was like, some people call it trauma, they use trauma too easily, and they say, no, it's not trauma, it's just a difficult situation.
Okay.
So differentiating that is not my wheelhouse.
Okay.
But I'm going to do some more research and see if I can't find out some more, because I am interested in helping people differentiate that. Because I think if you're a trauma, if you say you've had trauma, that puts you in the victim category, correct?
Yes. And victim gets the most power.
Right. So I think maybe the differentiator is trying to figure out, did you have the trauma, or are you a person who's playing victim more often than not?
Okay. So let me ask you, because we used to see a lot of people in Dr. Pat's seminars, and they were very brave to go up in front of the audience, 100 plus people, and share their stories, which sometimes people would smirk in the back. And they got, you know, they took the information. There were very few that challenged Dr. Pat. And when they did, remember how challenging it was? They were trying to prove her wrong, but she was just so dead point on logic, they couldn't challenge her wrong.
That's what I loved about her.
It wasn't really a debate. It was like, wait a minute, what just happened? But some women that I'm finding is they want help, but when you tell them what you see, they fight you on it. So it's kind of like, well, I'm trying to help, but then I'm screwed. I'm in trouble if I help. What? And I'm kind of looking at the person and I'm thinking they may have some kind of unresolved anger or frustration. So, but then when I express that to them, they say, no, I don't. And it's like right there, there's some anger there. So, but and unless a person is ready to heal and do the work, which is uncomfortable, they pretty much are unteachable. Just because they're going to the classes and reading a book doesn't mean they're going to do the what's in the book, the information or the work.
Yeah, I think one of the things that helped me, because, you know, you get the five curses of mankind, and if you got be perfect, you have everything else.
Yes.
And if you have the be perfect problem, which a lot of people I met do.
Yes.
Being open to this stuff means you cannot be perfect at the outset.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve. So you're really, really, really hard on yourself because you can't get it right because it's hard.
Yes.
And that's just the nature of the beast. So part of it to me, because when I talk to people, like I get the pushback.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about these curses. Like, are you trying to be perfect? And of course the answer is yes, usually, right?
Yes.
Okay, no, well, can we be good enough? Now, let's just learn, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said we all want to be perfect, flawless.
Right. So then I asked the question, what is good enough? Are you willing to be good enough and not perfect? And if the answer is yes, then they become a little more teachable about one thing. All I want to do is open the door for one thing.
Yes. Well, that's a good point. Just do one thing at a time.
Yeah, because, you know, it's too much. A lot of things are just too much to ingest at one time.
Uh-huh.
You know, we could all be medical doctors if we took the classes and did the things, probably, maybe, right? Or something similar.
Yes.
Then you just learn the one thing at a time, and you build on it.
That's true. Some people want to do it all at once. They want an instant fix, and they want all the information at once, and then they're done.
Yeah, so take that same idea into relationships. If you have the be perfect problem, you can't ingest an entire medical journal in one night, nor can you ingest a lifetime of love with a brand new person in one moment. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't, yes.
So sometimes, at least in my experience,
okay,
is they've taken the analogy of, can you do X? If you can't do X, it's all just stuff, it all takes time, then you cannot do Y either.
Uh-huh.
Like you can't get everything done at one time. Here's an elephant. How do you eat a horse? One bite at a time.
Yes.
So do the same thing with everything else. Now, I think that goes along with bringing that around to them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing on being unteachable,
mm-hmm.
focus on the reason for it, and maybe crack the door open with one thing they're willing to learn.
That's true. And what I'm thinking as well is when they want help, they're in the group, and then they're defiant, is that I look at it as their masculine side coming out, trying to defend themselves, that they're perfect. And it's like a competing, because the teacher's always masculine in the group. So when you have a student that's masculine, we have conflict. So it's masculine to masculine. So they're actually, I see a lot of them operating out of their masculine, which is why they repel a lot of good men, is because they're constantly in their masculine.
Yeah. I used to teach the Navy. I used to teach people networking. And I would occasionally get someone to challenge me because they thought they knew more.
Yes.
It's always the most ignorant person in this picture. I'm not talking in general. But people who think they know the most are know actually the least.
And when you challenge them, do they actually kind of escalate and actually get angry?
Sometimes, yeah. But I give them a choice. You can be open and listen, or you can walk out the door. Those are only two choices.
Yes. Because sometimes when you challenge them too much, they start to get angry because you're confronting them, and it doesn't look good on their behalf. So instead of rationalizing it, they go emotional and start saying things that they probably shouldn't be saying.
Yeah, it turns out I was emotional long before I knew the emotional or rational long before I knew what it meant. Because they gave simple and clear boundaries.
Yes. Yeah.
And people only had two choices.
Yes.
So. I don't argue with people. Like, if you want to be here, great. Listen, participate, or leave.
That's another quality when you want to argue. That's mostly on the masculine side. Women are really not supposed to explain and defend. We're just supposed to kind of go with the flow. So a lot of women want to be right. They, you know, Dr. Pat says, do you want to be right or happy? They always say, but I want him to know my point of view. I go, then that's male to male. Well, don't I have a right to my point of view? Yes, you do. If you want to fight with your chosen partner, they'll go for that. I also had one lady who's now discovered that she hasn't had her voice. I guess, she's probably a people pleaser, and she never said no or set healthy boundaries. So now she discovered she's going to set her voice. So when anybody says anything that makes her mad, which is just even a question, she has to let them know if it hurt her or, you know, if it was inappropriate, just because she now wants to suddenly have her voice. And it's actually repelling men on the dating site because she's hearing them one way, but I don't hear the same. When I hear what they said, it doesn't faze me. It's something triggers her. So she's got triggers. When somebody says something, it goes somewhere else. You know how when you say something, everybody hears it differently?
Yeah.
And it could be a trigger if that was a sore point. So when I hear it, I'm like, he didn't say anything nasty or negative, but to her, it was an insult because of something that happened a long time ago. So she's got to tell him, she's got to cut him off at the knees. And I said, well, if you're okay doing that, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, when you're brand new, you don't know how to handle people. So you're like, well, this is what I'm getting into. Forget it. Not worth it.
Well, the one thing on dating is at least try and get them to meet. Don't start blemishing them before you meet. At least meet. Because, you know, when you're talking to people, you don't have a face. You don't see body language. It's hard to have a communication and be attracted to somebody just by a voice. So I always say keep the conversation short and get to a meeting place to see if you have chemistry and to start talking about compatibility. And when you meet, don't talk about fluffy stuff. Talk about, you know, where you want a relationship, what you want from a relationship. So you're both on the same page at least. But a lot of women are afraid to tell them they want marriage or children. I go, well, then how are you going to know you're compatible if you don't share what you want and what you don't want? Well, I'll wait till he asks me. Some men won't ask. They'll just go along because you're not mentioning it. They think you want to play, so they want to play. So there's, we teach communication. If you're not willing or able to communicate effectively, you may get yourself into trouble down the line because you didn't communicate your wants and not wants.
Yeah, I think it's also reteaching people to not believe that it's impolite to say what I want or don't want.
That's a good point. We're taught that our wants, you know, we're not to brag about what we want or have any ideas or goals. A lot of women are still stuck. Well, I don't want to tell him. If I tell him I want to be married, he might go away. I go, well, that's probably good. If he doesn't want to be married, let him go away now rather than later.
Yeah, sooner the better.
Save you the pain.
Exactly.
I've had some women that have gone out with guys that didn't bring this up. A year later, they go, oh, you know, and they start talking about marriage. And he goes, I never said I wanted to get married. And she goes, but we've been together for a year. He goes, yeah, I know. But you never mentioned marriage, and I never talked about marriage. It's, they assume that when you're dating, you end up getting married.
Yeah, you got to make those wants and not wants clear and do that relationship contract and wear red flags and wear your drop dead, this is the end, points.
Make sure you're going to the same place. Hopefully, I'm going to throw out if you're out there listening, people, please call in. And even if you've called in before, we always love to get the feedback on the information we told you and how it's going. I think last week we had quite a few callers. Some of them were with hi-bye letters and things like that. So it's 323-203-0815. We're open and available to take your answers or take your questions. And the topic tonight is chemistry versus compatibility.
And you can always call in and just say, hey, I want to practice with you for a minute.
That's true. Or even just say, you know, you say hi. You remember us from Dr. Pat's seminars. Which I want to share. Dr. Pat turned 91 on September 21st. So a lot of people thought she had passed away. She's not passed away. She's still alive. She's still coherent. She's not offering any counseling because she has a hard time hearing due to her age. So it's a little hard for her to hear questions and give proper answers if she can't hear the questions. So that's where I come in to try and take over as much as I can to help the people out there as part of the Want Institute, what we teach and what we want to spread for people to learn and profit, to prosper from.
The last time I saw Dr. Pat, I brought a pad of paper and a pen, and even in my car where it was very quiet, she still couldn't hear me.
Oh, yeah.
I had to write down everything and get an answer.
Yeah. We're going to check to see if we can get her some higher hearing aids. So maybe she can get back on the show. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they make them that high quality, you know, that high frequency where they can, her hearing's pretty well lost. Yeah. But we're going to check. So on the topic here, I wanted to share some talking points that, regarding the chemistry and compatibility, that healthy love has both sparks and stability. Chemistry without compatibility equals chaos. Compatibility without chemistry will equal friendship. And how to cultivate both emotional safety, polarity with your masculine and feminine energy, and shared experiences. So when you're out there dating, and you see somebody and you're not quite sure you have chemistry, but you enjoy talking to them and you feel like it's a friend zone, explore it a little more till you get to know them. Because a lot of times you hear about people that have been friends for a long time. And then because they get along so much that they do become lovers and it works out. So don't just go for the instant chemistry. Explore compatibility and see if chemistry can grow.
And getting their eyeballs, because the more they see, the more likely they are to
That's the men. Men fall in love with their eyeballs. Women are supposed to fall in love with their ears, but I have a hard time getting women to hear the deal. They just fall in love with the eyeballs.
I'm looking for a female man, feminine man.
Well, I think there. It's the lust, the lust. And the sad thing is, it always works good for a couple of months. But then you don't have anything that holds you together other than instant lust. And then that burns out because then they get instant lust with somebody else that starts the ignition, the fire again. It's always next, next, next.
Passion's a hard thing to resist.
Passion is. Yeah, we all want passion, but sometimes if you have too much passion, it burns out. You don't have compatibility. Did you say that maybe people that do, that have, affairs just pick people that have passion with? I was just brought that thought to that thought of that to right now.
Say that one more time? What do you mean?
Yeah, I was just thought about that. You know, when people have relationships, do you think it could be a lot on just passion? Because they really don't do things together other than have like sex and stuff, passion. They're just drawn to each other.
Yeah, I think so.
Sometimes.
Excitement, right? The boringness of the other relationship versus the excitement of the new.
Yes, it's excited. And then even with affairs, sometimes the affairs burn out, maybe because one person wants more and the other one was just in it for the instant gratification lust. So that could be too.
Yeah. Let's talk about another. Well,
tell me.
Can we talk about that something else?
What topic do you want to discuss?
Let's talk.
One that you're familiar with.
Well, I always like the relationship contract. I like boundaries.
Yes, you do. Boundaries seem to be hard. Here's how I see ladies. Ladies that don't have boundaries, they give, and then all of a sudden when they've given too much, they get mad and they shut down and get mad and angry because they're, you know, they just went, the person took too much from them. Instead of saying, no, I'm not comfortable, they take, and then all of a sudden they're like, why are you doing this to me? You're giving, and then they just blow up.
Yeah, it's frustrating because then that's when they don't say no.
Yes.
Does this sound better?
We sound good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Communication is always hard. That's why we're doing the show. That's why Dr. Pat had 40 years of doing the seminars and whatnot. Nothing about this is easy, but it's very, very powerful in terms of self-worth, mental health, spiritual health, physical health. Like talking, communicating, boundaries, knowing where you are and where you're not willing to go, and where you absolutely want to go, are all important. And the other person needs to know that. Need, right?
Yeah.
It's the word need. Oh my God. What's that mean? Why am I freaking out? Needs are for things that will kill you, which doesn't qualify for this statement, or drive you crazy, which absolutely does qualify. So if it's going to drive you crazy, talk, communicate. Even if you write a letter to them.
To who?
To anybody, to whom it may concern.
Okay.
On the first date, right?
Okay.
To whom it may concern, these are the things I do not want, because if you're, you know, it can be a
Oh, it's kind of like pulling it out, doing your own kind of evaluation.
Yeah, like, here's my checklist for life, just for next, what I know in the next couple of years.
Okay.
Do you agree with these or not? Because if the answer is no, then let's just end it and have a good day.
Okay. That's a good point. You know, I always tell my ladies to pull out what you want in a man, other than tall, dark hair, you know, fit, makes a lot of money. Pull out values and stuff like that. Kind, caring, generous, safety, security. They always go with the looks. They always go with the looks.
You know, I think I know why, at least.
Why?
Because because it's an easy call. It's an easy quantifier.
Yes.
It's quickly. It, you can get those scores very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Being kind, being, all those other things take time.
That's true. You know, I would say, I tell them, well, dig deeper, you know, likes to go to church, has good family values, likes to travel, likes to be active, eats healthy. There's like a lot of them that if you really dig deep, because later on, I have people later on, they didn't make a list, and you'd be surprised how many things. He likes horror movies. I like comedies. Well, they never talked about that, so she can't stand horror movies. And he can't stand comics, so they fight about it. It's crazy.
And it's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but they only look at the superficial things. He's good looking, he has a job, he wants to get married, and he wants to have kids. That's what their main things are.
Hmm. Okay. So is there some homework, or do you want to give a challenge?
Well, I give them homework, and they, you know, it's even amazing when women are supposed to say, I feel happy, glad, sad, and Pat used to just say, that isn't a feeling, or like isn't the feeling, because women always say, I feel that he's a jerk. I feel like he doesn't care about me. And she always used to spot them, that and feel, that and like are not feelings. And it would make the women so mad because they don't really have a list. They're not comfortable sharing sad, mad, glad, happy, upset, you know, frustrated. They're not used to sharing their feelings. I'm noticing that. And I give them a feeling wheel and they're like, wow, I didn't know there's all these feelings. So I try to make them do at least three feelings a day. Express three feelings a day to start with, so they can get in touch with their feelings. And you'd be surprised how hard it is.
I'm looking at feeling wheel right now. It's the first I've ever heard of it.
It's huge. Because I would always get women that say they're feminine and I feel like he doesn't care about me. Or I think he's an idiot. Then they go to the think, and then they go to the feel. And I have one person that goes, I think and feel, I'm thinking and feeling my thoughts. She goes into thinking and feeling what she wants to do. So she's double dipping.
Okay, so I've got this thing up. There's a Learn How to Label Your Feelings. It's at uca.edu. I don't know what that is. University of Central Arkansas. Okay. The title is Feelings dash wheel dash learn dash how to label your feelings. Well, dashes in the middle of all of it. Well, one page PDF file. In the very center of it, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And okay. They are happy, sad, disgusted, angry, fearful, and bad.
Those are the main ones, the core ones that people can identify. And then it spreads out to more feelings.
Yeah, so each one has like a second wheel, secondary wheel, with, we'll just go with disgusted because I'm, I don't know, it sounds fun right now. So disgusted goes out into disapproving, disappointed, awful, and repelled. Great rule, great words, right? And then disapproving goes out to judgmental and embarrassed. Disappointed goes out to appalled and revolted. Great words.
Different words for the same feeling, kind of like.
Just, yeah, they're great. Yeah. Awful goes to nauseated and detestable.
Yeah.
And repelled goes to horrified and hesitant. You know, I almost think that when you learn feeling words, you also learn vocabulary.
You do. And you can identify how you really feel. Rather than when women get on, I'm noticing when women, maybe because they haven't been able to share their feelings in a healthy way, everybody says, you know, suck it up or do this or that, or they want other people to take care of their feelings, which only you can process your feelings. Another person can hurt your feelings. They could say they're sorry, but only you can get out of those uncomfortable feelings, which is a hard one for people to swallow. they have to process their feelings. And sometimes it takes a long time for them to get out of uncomfortable feelings.
Uncomfortable. I'm looking for the word in my word wheel, word feeling wheel.
Oh, and for uncomfortable? Uncomfortable is a pretty common word for a lot of women. It's just one safe word. I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. But when you say it over and over, it doesn't have any meaning anymore to the other person hearing it.
You know, it's interesting is I just looked at the word disrespected.
Yes.
And going downwards, disrespected goes with ridiculed, which goes to humiliated, which goes to angry.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking of my own life, what things I felt in the past.
Yes.
And disrespected is a common one for me.
But was it disrespected by people or people in your family or, you know, in your close-knit family?
It was by people I was dating or something. So.
Okay.
But I like it because I'm hurt, which goes to embarrassed and disappointed. Interesting. Because what was the word you kept? Uncomfortable is not on.
Uncomfortable is what a lot of women that don't have a lot of vocabulary on feelings, they stick with uncomfortable. And then the men are challenging, well, tell me more. And they can't express another feeling.
So maybe we need to find, maybe finding some other words would help our listeners.
That's what I do. I give them the wheel that I tell them to do, try and process like three feelings a day.
So where would uncomfortable fall under?
Well, it depends. You can be uncomfortable angry, uncomfortable scared, uncomfortable frustrated. And I mean, it could fall under a lot of different things. Uncomfortable, not sure, unaware. And, you know.
So almost anything other than happy.
Yes, almost anything other than happy, but it could also be from being uncomfortable could mean angry, and it could also mean fearful. So those two different things, that they're afraid or they're angry. Oh, we have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, thanks. How can we help you?
Okay, I have a two-part question, or I have two questions about the same sort of situation.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm talking with a man that I met through social media. And so we're long distance right now and just in early stages of talking. And he's, you know, reaching out and like pursuing contact and conversation.
That's good.
But the other night we had our first like formal phone call, meaning like he got my number, like, because before we were just talking through like messages and voice notes. Okay. And so, you know, you always say like, don't ask too many questions and like, let him lead and you'll find things out like as you're sort of going.
Yeah.
So he's divorced and runs a company. And so like whenever I meet a guy that's divorced, I always kind of, you know, at some point want to know like what happened to lead to that.
Don't ask. My experiences, you'll find out what happens by just watching, because I guarantee if you ask him what happens, it's going to be her fault.
Right. Sort of. Yeah.
So it's better to watch, and you'll see the way he talks about her. Because if he's mad at her, a lot of guys say, you know what, hey, me and my ex, we work it out good. And then you'll watch him to see if he says anything bad. Some of them are, they actually are amicable. And then some of them later on, you'll hear, God damn it, you know, she's doing this, this, this. And you just listen.
Right.
And you'll find out everything you need to know. And because remember, you're getting to know a person, and the perfect phase is 3 months. So you should know all the information you want in 3 months. And let me ask you, so you're on social media, and do you have you shared pictures? Because it's always good to ask to do a Zoom date so you can interact face to face.
Yeah, not quite yet. I mean, obviously he has my social media, so he's seen tons of photos, and I've seen tons of his, because he kind of is building a social channel, so he has tons of videos and stuff, and he's seen some of me too. But it's still like new, so I don't want to suggest a call just yet. Like if he continues to reach out, but so let me. This is kind of why I hear where you're going with it, and I kind of this is where things sort of are, and I'm kind of curious.
Okay, where's it going? Okay, so tell us your feelings.
Okay, so we had this call, and like he usually leads with talking about. Yeah, he's the one who told me up front when we were talking on social media, like when he was trying to signal interest to me, he told me he was divorced. And then he told me he just recently got out of a 6-month relationship with someone he was dating, and that he's 38 and she was 29. He said, you know, he talked about the age difference and just basically why it didn't work out.
Okay, that's good to know, though. He's open.
Yeah, that's all good. So like when we were talking on the phone, when he called me, you know, and he starts talking about his business, and then he mentioned things about, you know, his ex-wife, and he speaks generally highly of her, but he does say, like you're saying, like he'll say little things of like, you know, they just had different love languages, and he's just like, things wouldn't go his way. And
so they were incompatible in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I'm letting him lead the conversation, but I'm, you know, acting curious and asking questions here and there, like, oh, tell me more about that. Or, oh, what did you mean by that? Or like, can you give me an example? Like, just trying to like understand and learn him.
Okay.
And so at the very end of the call, because he was saying how, like, it's kind of exactly what you're saying. He was saying that sometimes in their marriage that, you know, because he's building this business and he's quite successful, that he sometimes wasn't always present. And
yeah, he wasn't available because men, like, yeah, they work a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that. Like I have a lot of entrepreneurs around me in my circle, and like I've been in that place as well in my career. So like, I know how it is. And so when we were talking at the, like, cause he kind of went really deep into the, you know, talking about his relationship in the past and all that stuff. And obviously like I'm asking questions and all that. But at the end, I started to like feel that he was drifting on the call. Like maybe he was maybe checking his phone on his social media or like doing something else. Like I could feel he was split focus on the call.
Okay.
And so I made a joke where I said something like, I forget how I said it or how it got brought up, but it was like in a joking way. I was just like, he was saying something and I was like, oh, you mean like not being present on the call, like kind of like how I feel right now. And he was like, oh, well, he's like, I've just had a really long day. And maybe, and I was like, and I said, well, if you don't want to talk about this, like, it's totally okay. You know, cause I felt like we were kind of really going, we were almost talking for an hour at that point. And he was like, well, I mean, yeah, maybe we should just cut it now and like we can talk another time. And I said, do you just not want to talk about this stuff? Because again, I was trying to respect his boundaries too. Like I didn't want to go too deep into it, but we kind of were. And he said, he was like, yeah, maybe like next time we shouldn't go too deep in past relationships. He's like, and then he kind of made this comment that I felt a little offended by. He was like, unless, you know, I'm going to like pay you to talk about that. And it's just like, okay. I didn't really say, I just was like, I just stayed, you know, in my feminine energy. And I was just like, oh, I just was soft. And I was like, okay, you know, and, you know, I think he tried to like reassure me at the end of the call. He's like, I do want to talk to you again. And he's like, you know, we can talk like maybe tomorrow or another day. And I was like, all right. And I could tell he could tell that I was kind of put off by what he had said. So my question is, like, did I offend him and should I apologize?
Well, here's what I know from Dr. Allen. When men sometimes open their mouth and share too much, they get embarrassed and then it will force them to go away. And what I hear you trying to ask for more questions, you were pulling it out and he felt comfortable, but it actually was not good for him to give you that much information.
Totally. And he kind of went away for like 24 hours.
So I know that you're trying to gather information, but it's best not to ask him for more. Tell me more. Because he mm-hmm. told you more, and then they go away and go, I shared too much. I'm now embarrassed. I got to cut her off.
Yeah.
Ask for too much can sometimes give you all the answers, but it'll scare him away.
Yeah. So do you think I pushed him away and laughed?
I think you pushed him away with your comment. If a feminine way, if you notice he was not paying attention, you acquiesce and go away. You know what? I'm tired right now. I have to cut this short. You flagged him and made him wrong for not paying attention.
Totally, yeah.
So right. You might think you said it in a soft way, but you did it in a way that you kind of disrespected him and insulted him. Because you caught him. It's like, you're not paying attention, buddy, and I caught you.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't feel good. I felt like my time was not valuable.
Okay, but dear, if you notice that, you acquiesce out. Don't flag him on him insulting you.
That's what I'm asking, how do I handle that in the future?
In the future, when you notice he's not paying attention or it's starting to go stale, just say, it's been great talking to you. However, it's getting late. Can we talk another day? You take yourself out so you have a better time the next time. Telling him he's not paying attention is not going to get another time that's going to be productive, because he's going to remember he got scolded.
Right.
You really will.
So with where it is right now, do you think the next time we connect, I had asked him today, because we didn't, he kind of went away for 24 hours. And I asked him today in a message. I said, when you have availability, can I ask you some real estate questions? And he was like, yeah, of course.
Well, now what are we doing here? You're going, okay, it's either now it's going double decking here. You're wanting him for work, but now you're also wanting him for a relationship. It's one or the other, dear.
Yep. Can I ask him his advice on just like a topic that he's like a expert in, or is that not good?
Well, do you have an interest in dating him, or do you have an interest in knowing him for networking? Because you're jumping.
Dating, but I kind of I think I'm using this just to be totally honest. I am interested in the topic for sure, 100%. But I think I'm also probably using it a little bit to just connect again.
Well, here's what happens. When you go masculine with him, the polarity that he's attracted to you goes away. When you're sexy and fun to talk to, he likes that polarity. But when you come back and talk business, it neutralizes it and he doesn't see interest in you. So you're double dipping it and he may lose interest because you're flip-flopping from feminine to masculine.
Well, that's how it initially started. It initially started with me asking.
I know,
about
pick your preference, because he liked you with the feminine, but now you're flipping back to masculine. When you keep doing that, he won't have the interest.
I hear you. So it's not feminine to ask a man for his advice on something? Or
if you want, no, not if you want to have him as an interest in interest. Because when you talk business, he sees you as a business partner and his attraction will go away.
Oh, well, I thought men feeling like the hero.
No, not when you're both male to male asking work questions.
But how, isn't that giving him a fix it sort of?
No.
Give me advice sort of thing?
No, because you're asking him. And you're in your mail asking him for information to fix something, and you're not even you haven't even met yet. You're talking dating wise, and then you flip to questions.
Yes, sir. I think we need to call it.
So what do I do now? Because now he thinks I want to chat, and he's all open for it. But
why are you talking? We only have a minute left. You talk and stay feminine. Don't be talking business with him until you meet and you form some kind of a relationship. Because you going back and forth, it doesn't give him enough to chase you with.
Okay, so do I just drop the call tomorrow and just say, like, oh, something came up, like, I'll, you know.
Just say, you know what, when he calls you, just go, I figured it out myself, but thanks for calling. I'd love chatting with you. Don't be talking to him business.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, call us back next week and let us know how it is. We ran out of time.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
Bye.
You. Sorry, everybody, we're running out of time. Unfortunately, when you want to call us, give us a call at the beginning so we don't run out of time. But I want to thank everybody, and thank you, Andy, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you. I'll take care.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.